Chapter 3, and this is the last chapter in Joel. Basically, this chapter has to do with the Battle of Armageddon and the judgment of the nations and the full blessing of God on the people of Israel. That's basically what this chapter has to deal with prophetically. Now, you can study it historically and spiritually and so forth, but doctrinally and prophetically, it's going to have to do with what the other chapters have had to do with, and that's the Battle of Armageddon, judgment of the nations, and God's blessing on the people of Israel. But I want us to read this chapter. That may get old to some of you, but I want us to read it tonight, and then we'll look at some of the verses. I'll start us out, chapter 3, verse 1. For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. They have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coast of Palestine? Will you render me a recompense? And if you recompense me, swiftly and speedily will I return your recompense upon your own head, because ye have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly, pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their border. Behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah, and they shall sell them to the Sabaeans, to a people far off, for the Lord hath spoken it. Would somebody else like to read? Else. Thank you. All right. Verse number 1, it says, For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and of Jerusalem. One thing I mentioned to you in a previous study is how that out in the future, during the tribulation period, the people of Israel were going to be taken into captivity or led into captivity again. This is something that it's really just been a part of their history, it seems like forever. You read through the Old Testament, you find that time and time again, the people of Israel were taken from their land into some strange land or some foreign land, and they were held captive. One of the main captivities that you read about is the 70 years of captivity that's taught about in the Old Testament. But you see it again and again. One book that really shows it is the book of Judges. If you read that book, just time and again, they would rebel and God would have them taken captive, and then they'd cry out for mercy and the Lord would give them a judge and they'd be delivered. And for the time of that judge, it seemed like they'd do right and they'd be okay. And then that judge would die or something. They'd rebel and they'd go back into captivity. So it's just been a part of their history. And unfortunately, it's going to be part of their future too. During the time of the tribulation when the Antichrist is in charge, and as we mentioned last Sunday night, when he's just slaughtering them by the thousands and trying to get them off the face of the earth, they're going to be led into captivity again. But there's going to come a time, and that time would be when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, where he's going to bring again, as it says in verse number 1, the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. When you read that, you can read it and kind of be confused and think that what he's saying is that he's going to bring them into captivity again. But that's not the way that reads. When he says, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, he's talking about bringing them back from the captivity they've been in, is what he's talking about. So this is what the Lord's going to do. And this will be clearer, I think, as you go on through the chapter, especially as you get to the end of the chapter. But you're going to get some more information in the next few verses about how they were dispersed or how they're going to be dispersed and taken in these different places. But it says in verse 2, the Lord's talking, I will also gather all nations. Now this stuff that you're about to read here is going to be very similar to what you read in Matthew chapter 25, where it talks about the second advent of Jesus Christ and how he's going to come back and how he's going to gather all the nations and he's going to judge those nations. He's going to sit on the throne of his glory and he's going to judge those nations. And you remember the passage there in Matthew 25, it talks about how he's going to put the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Y'all remember or familiar with that passage? Well, that's the thing, you know, there's some messed up teaching just like there is in a lot of places where that people try to make that judgment there, you know, like when saved and lost people stand before the Lord and the ones that are saved get put on the right, ones that are lost get put on the left. But that thing right there has to do with the judgment of the nations when Jesus Christ returns. That's what Matthew 25 at the end there is talking about. Those sheep and those goats, those are the people in these nations that are judged at that time. And the judgment there, the one thing that they are judged for at that time is what? Does anybody know that one thing that is critical at that judgment? It's how they have treated the people of Israel. That's what that judgment is about. And, you know, we could take the time to go over there to Matthew 25. Matter of fact, we might ought to go over there and look at that a little bit. So let's just turn over to Matthew 25. And look at it. As we just read here in Joel 3:2, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down. Listen to this now. Will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat. The word Jehoshaphat means Jehovah hath judged. is what that name means. This is likely going to be the same as the Kidron Valley, most likely. But he'll bring them down in the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them, plead with all nations there, listen, for my people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. So he's gonna judge them, plead with them there in that valley for his people. So it's a judgment based on how they have been toward his people. And the same thing is over here in Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Look at this now. Then shall the king, you see that? The wording is important. It really is. It's important you notice that. This is when the king is seated upon his throne. And he's got all these nations. And he'll say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, which is going to be the millennial kingdom, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then you read on. Why are these the blessed of the Father? Jesus says, for I was in hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. All of that stuff, by the way, is what's going to be happening to the Jews during the tribulation period. They're going to be going through all that stuff that you just read there. It's going to be a really bad time for the Jews, and they're going to be going through all that. And these that are blessed of the Father that inherit the kingdom are those that fed them when they were hungry and gave them something to drink and visited them when they were sick and so forth. But notice verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. Now, from an earthly perspective, who's the Lord's brethren? That's the Jews, right? He says, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So this is how it shakes down. How you treat the Jew ultimately is taken personally by the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees that as how you're treating him. Do y'all understand that? That's a very important thing to understand. Because that means, because this is a judgment of the nations. So God is going to hold every nation, that includes the good old United States of America, accountable for how we treat those Jews. So this matter, you know, talking about politics and all that, one of the greatest factors that has to always be considered when anybody's a candidate for office is their position on Israel. That has to be a major factor, if not the major factor above every other factor. Because how it goes with our country depends on how our country is with that nation of people right there. Y'all got that? Remember the promise God said, those that bless you, I will bless. Those that curse you, I will curse. Now look at this wording here carefully. Verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father. Why are they blessed? Why is he blessing them? Because they blessed his brethren. That's why. Y'all understand that? I will bless those that bless you. They blessed the people of Israel, so they're being blessed. What about the other side of that thing? Well, look at this, verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye what? Cursed. I will curse those that curse you. This is the Lord talking. So you got those that are blessed, and those that are cursed, and it has to do in the passage with their treatment of God's people, the people of Israel. That's what this thing's about. And of course, the same thing there, they want to know, like verse 42, for I was in hunger, ye gave me no meat, I was thirsty, and gave me no drink, so forth. So forth. And then they're going to say, when did we not do these things? 45. Then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. Now, y'all understand that? That's an important thing to understand. It's a biblical thing all the way from the beginning of the nation of Israel all the way through to the end of your Bible. Here comes the first question. Brother Rouse. Well, I don't think that thing there seems to be a judgment of the nations, and how that whole thing is going to shake out, I don't know. But first of all, if you're a Christian, you ain't going to be here during the tribulation. Yeah, but the majority of the people that get saved during the tribulation are going to get killed. They're going to get martyred. The thing in Revelation chapter 7 about that great multitude that they see in heaven from among all nations, tribes, kindreds, and all that, it says, where'd they come from? It says they came out of great tribulation. So they're martyred and they go to heaven. That would be those that are saved, I guess. Well, let me read this to you. Look over here. In Revelation. Yeah. Revelation 21. It says, Jesus says to them there, he says, let me look back there. In Matthew 25, he says, verse 37, then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed and so forth? So they're righteous people. I guess it would just be maybe it's what you said, maybe it's just the people within the nations that are saved and how they treat the people of Israel. But look at Revelation 21. Verse 23, it says, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved, the nations of them which are saved, shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Yeah, you would have to think that it would, just like when it says, for God so loved the world, that's not talking about the globe. That's going to have to mean people. He loved the people of the world, so the nations, I guess, would be the people within those nations, not the, you know, like just the whole thing, but the people within the nations, I guess. About all I can tell you. Any help from anybody?
Well, that's definitely not the white throne judgment he's talking about there.
No.
And God just, when you have a passage like that, this just might be, when you have a passage like that that has some difficulty to it, you take other passages that don't. And God says he's no respecter of persons, and he just requires of a man of his own dealing, so God's not going to bunch us up in a group. He's going to take one man at a time, and if that nation is a particular nation, or geographically speaking, he was still in some way just looking at a man's righteousness. He wouldn't send a fellow into hell, because these folks that are not blessed in this passage, they go to hell.
Yes.
So he wouldn't send a fellow to hell that's done that Jew right.
No.
Just because he was in a nation full of people, that doesn't match other verses in the Bible that are not obscure. But
After the judgment, I don't think he would suffer because he's going to inherit the kingdom. When the judgment's going on. I think, and... Say that again. Well, this judgment, though, is after. The way I understand it, this judgment that we're reading about is after the advent, the tribulation, the advent. After that, he gathers all the nations and he casts judgment on these nations depending on their treatment of Israel. And the way it, I'm just going to say it like this, is the best way I understand to say it, is that the saved people there at that judgment who have treated Israel the right way are going to be blessed, and the lost people there that have not treated Israel right are going to go to hell.
That's right. That's what
it is the best way I know how to explain that. And beyond that, I don't know what to tell you.
That's a whole different theological study.
Okay. Well, he's going to deal with a nation. You see it in the Old Testament where you had a nation of people that treated Israel bad. And by a nation, I don't necessarily mean every single individual in that, but the leaders of that country, the king or whoever it was, and their armies and their people would persecute the Jew. And God would curse them and judge them severely for what they did. But you see in the Old Testament certain people who sided with the Jew, certain individuals from different nations. And there's all kind of illustrations, examples of that. And God would spare some of those people because they sided with the Jew. So I think maybe at that judgment it may be an individual thing, the people within the nations. But like I'm talking in the present right now, as far as how things go with our country,
right,
not necessarily with how it goes with me as an individual, but as the leadership of our country decides to treat Israel, that's going to have an effect on what God does for this nation, this country here. Now, well, maybe the Lord factors that in. But it's also possible for the Lord. You know, the scripture says the rain falls on the just and the unjust, that judgment must begin with the house of God. And there's no doubt the Lord's going to hold saved people to a higher standard than he is lost people. But it's possible for the Lord to bring hard times on a country and at the same time provide for his people within that country that don't go against Israel. But God is, he's going to be true to his word, and he's proven it time and time again that if you mess with Israel, then he's going to mess with you. And he's going to deal with our leadership. If our country, through its leadership, goes against Israel, then he's going to judge this nation. He can judge this nation through its economy, through plagues that he allows to break out, through drought, weather conditions, just like he did in the Old Testament. He can bring all sorts of horrible, hellish things on this country. And those of us who are saved may have to live through those hard times. But the difference is that he can take care of us and provide for us through those hard times, even when he's dealing with our nation for not doing Israel right. But that thing over there that we just read in Matthew 25, that's a different scenario there. That's not God dealing with a nation right now as they treat Israel. That's a some finality in that. The ones that are righteous and have treated Israel right go into the kingdom. They inherit the kingdom. Those that are wicked go into hell. So that's a different type of thing there. But I don't know that that answered any question at all. But and I'm just telling you right now, when you start getting out into the tribulation and the millennium and beyond that,
right.
Any man who tells you he's got all that figured out is a liar. I'm just telling you, I don't care if he's the greatest pastor that's ever preached, he's a liar, because no man has it all figured out. You just have to do the best you can with it. And that's what I'm doing, the best that I can with it. Any people. That's right. That's right.
And the nation that forgets God should be turned into hell.
Amen. That's right. That help at all, or didn't help Brother Rouse at all? What's that? Well,
when you say nation, you're talking about more than one person.
Yeah.
I think
that's absurd to think that. Really. I mean it's like Brother Dennis said, why would God cast anybody into hell if they're righteous? No. He cast the wicked into hell. The righteous are blessed. Yeah, but I think it's like what Brother Jimmy mentioned. It says nation, but it's just like for God to love the world. Well, he doesn't mean for God to love the globe. He loved the people is what it's talking about. But it says world. So when it says nation, obviously he's talking about people and people within that nation. So... Yeah.
It's like there may be a thing where the nations appear at the judgment, but then he takes the nations and does an individual thing with them. I'm not saying that's what it is, but it could be that.
You would almost have to think that's the way it would be. It's got to be a thing where all those nations appear at the judgment. You got something there, Brother Scott? Hold on just a minute. What is that noise I'm hearing? What's wrong with it? Okay, I'm just making sure y'all hear that, you know, that I ain't got something going on in my head up here.
Nation, from Latin, NATO, people, tribe, kin, class, or flock.
Yeah. Why couldn't it be that? Why couldn't it be the nations are gathered, and then he deals with the individuals in that nation? Why couldn't it be that? That's what I'm saying. Why couldn't, say, he gathered the United States, if the United States still exists at that time as a nation? Okay, because you have to understand, this is talking about nations that exist at that time. And will we still be a nation? I don't know if we will or not, but whatever nations are there, he takes that nation and deals with that, the individuals within that nation, and they're judged based on that. I assume the reason you're asking that is because we have had more opportunity to know the truth than perhaps the people in California, because we're in the Bible Belt. Is that what you're saying? And I think the Lord considers a lot of different things when he judges a person, and one thing that is considered is what they've been exposed to. And people that have been given a lot of truth actually are judged more harshly than people who haven't received the truth. Jesus even said that he said it would be more tolerable for some people that he talked to when he was here on the earth than it would be for Sodom and Gomorrah in the judgment. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, there's your Californians right there. I mean, that was a joke, what that was. But, you know, the Sodomites, the Sodom and Gomorrah, that's what they are. And God actually says that they're going to fare better to judgment than you folks are. And the reason is because they had Jesus Christ in their presence giving them truth, and they rejected that. So he judges, that is a big factor in his judging of a person or a group, I guess, is what they've been exposed to and how they've responded to what they've been exposed to. Somebody else? Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad somebody's learning something. Brother Rouse.
I've come to a conclusion.
Okay. I think if he's going to deal with the nations, the individuals in those nations, that's how it's going to have to be. It's going to have to be some from each nation that are on the right and some from that nation that are on the left. It's going to have to be, I would think, it's going to have to be an individual thing. He's just going to, it says nations, but he's talking about the individuals in those nations. That's right. Well, a pastor is a shepherd, so is that what I need to do around here? Straighten some of this riffraff out around here? Well, it's 25 after 7, so it's time to quit, and we didn't really cover much anything. But we covered a lot.